Locust and the Bee: Predators and Creators in Capitalism's Future. Author: Jeff Morgan. The Core of Capitalism. Capitalism at its best rewards creators, makers, and providers. The people and firms that create valuable things for others, like imaginative technologies and good food, cars, and healthcare, which, at their best, delight and satisfy. Its moral claim is to provide an alternative to the predatory, locust-like tendencies. It rewards the people who work hard and innovate, the human equivalents of industrious bees, and by doing so, makes everyone better off, more than any other economic system in human history. But capitalism also rewards takers and predators. The people and firms who extract value from others without contributing much in return. Predation is part of the everyday life of capitalism. In sectors as mainstream as pharmaceuticals, software, and oil, where people's money, their data, their time, and their attention are routinely taken in fundamentally asymmetrical exchanges. To take or to make. If you want to make money, you can choose between two fundamentally different strategies. One is to create genuinely high value by bringing resources together in ways that serve people's wants and needs. The other is to seize value through predation, taking resources, money, or time from others, whether they like it or not. Your choice, in short, is whether to be a bee or a locust. Both characters, creative productivity and predation, are inherent to a system devoted to the discovery and realization of value. And both are inherent to every aspect of a capitalist economy, from entrepreneurship and innovation to finance and consumption. Capitalist productivity. The primary claim of capitalism is that it improves well-being and welfare. The productive character of capitalism has been extensively theorized. Indeed, understanding it has been the primary concern of modern economics, which tells a story that goes roughly like this. The incentive to become rich motivates inventors to invent, entrepreneurs to assemble, investors to invest. Consumers then pay more for better products. And so long as capital is easily available to finance creative ideas, the market automatically drives constant improvement and ever better ways of meeting our wants and needs. Capitalist predation. Predation has been less extensively theorized, yet it has always been a part of the human condition. In the natural world, predators kill their prey, ambushing, poisoning, or wearing them down. This is a binary world where one lives and another dies, and where even the predators face intense competition. The advocates of capitalism claim to offer an alternative to the predatory instincts, while the critics castrated it for legitimating the greed of the speculator and the rapaciousness of the factory owner. In this view, it is always about imbalances of power, and those imbalances are invariably exploited by the winners to crush the losers. The more concentrated the power, the more opportunities for predation. The more invisible the relationships of power, the more chances there are to take advantage of others. The rise of relationship economy. Capitalism introduced linearity into the economy. With the idea of cumulative growth and an economy based around things that are simply used and then disposed, generalizing what was always true of parts of the luxury economy. We suggest that this may turn out to be an aberration in the long view, and that more of our economy will again become circular. Concerned with maintenance and sustaining, albeit greatly enriched by knowledge and information, the household will become an important site of production as well as consumption. In the material economy, we increasingly aspire to homeostasis and equilibrium, just as we do in our physical bodies. But the world of knowledge, like the capacity of our own brains, has the potential for limitless growth. Put these together, and it's possible to see how our ideas of growth may change from more and bigger to again and better, which is already how we think about such things as food, friendship, and pleasure. Capitalism's generative ideas. Capitalism spread as an idea, a form of life, and a way of seeing. Its more ardent advocates could only imagine a future in which that idea simply extended and deepened. Its strident critics could only imagine mirror opposites. The following concepts are suggested ones as to how some of the defining ideas of capitalism could shape an evolution beyond it. Growth. Growth is the great promise of capitalism. growth of income, growth of opportunities, growth in physical terms with larger homes, more stuff, and more to consume. Economies are judged by how much they grow. And if growth falters, governments falter too. Cooperation and empathy. Capitalism is associated not just with greater movements of goods and money, but also with the growth of cities, of dense populations, and intensive communications between both friends and strangers. Cities provide clusters of specialized skills. They breed ideas. They allow producers to reap economies of scale, and local demand allows firms to price above marginal cost, providing them with the profits for growth. But the close links between capitalism and urbanization are also to do with culture. The places where people come together are highly social, and this sociability is an asset that makes both enterprise and innovation possible and breaks down the barriers between people, perfect markets, and perfect communities. This can help us imagine a world beyond today's capitalism. We have seen how important utopias have been to recent human history. A means to think through what might be, to take ideas and ideals to a logical conclusion, and determine if they still add up. Throughout modern history, new communities have tried to start from scratch and to leave behind the corruption and failure of the societies from which they came, inspired by visions of what might be. Maximizing relationships. From the moment we are born, we seek out friends who will help us and avoid enemies who will harm us. As dependent and social creatures, this behavior is inseparable from our search for food or shelter. We live and survive because of others. This fundamental fact dominates childhood, where we learn how to read the patterns of support and enmity in those around us, how to shift alliances, how to replace one group of friends with another. And it continues through life with love, spouses, and friends. Value. Capitalism prides itself on efficiency. The pursuit of profits drives out waste, whether of materials, energy, or time. But a common critique has been that in the name of efficiency, other kinds of value are destroyed. Nature is sacrificed for production, families for profit. If one response is to go on the attack, denouncing the inequities of the system, the other has been to use the tools of capitalism to measure and map where value is being destroyed and where waste is being generated. Money as a tool of life. Capitalism's defining idea is a search for value that can be exchanged and monetized. It makes money the common currency of life and sees anything and everything through that lens. Yet money can only ever be a means, even if the miser takes it as an end. The end for which it is a means to enhance life in some way, through better places to live, better food to eat, or better clothes to wear. When capitalism is a means to these ends, it thrives. But when it appears to lose sight of this, to make life subservient to money, its legitimacy is called into question. All of the clusters of ideas described above, from new ideas about growth and cooperation to friendship, value, and entrepreneurship, remain young. They have not had the decades or centuries that it took for capitalism's ideas to move from broad brushstrokes to precise diagrams, honed down into theories and data sets, competing schools of thought and practice. But add them together, and it's possible to see how capitalism may evolve in the realm of ideas and imagination, as well as in reality.